Collectively is a podcast series focused on exploring personal responses to the town of Eastbourne's art collection. This series approaches the nearly 100-year-old collection through a queer lens, feeling, tuning into, and selecting works that evoke memories, emotions, and experiences of queerness. My name is Renee Bourne Sutherland, and I'm an artist working with film and video, with a particular focus on bodies being carriers of narratives within landscapes, and the body itself being a site for transformation. Tanner invited me to connect with people from the LGBTQIA+ community living in East Sussex. After a number of sessions in the art store discussing artworks I had selected, each contributor was invited to choose works they would like to ponder and explore further. You can hear more from me, learn about the Towner and its collection in more detail, and how we sifted through 5,000-plus artworks in the first installment in this series. But in this episode, I discuss with John and David Spanish Village, 1950, by John Minton, and Boy Reclining, 1935, by Kathleen Warne.
We are David and John. We're a married gay couple. We've been together for over 30 years. We have a strong shared interest in art of all kinds, especially paintings. And we are living in an old farmhouse just outside Hastings, which is a bit of a wreck, but we are doing it up. And that, I hope, will be the home for the quite large collection of pictures which we've gathered together over the past 30 years.
I am semi-retired, as is John. I am a company secretary by qualification, but most of my working life has not been spent in commercial environments, but working either in the charitable sector or broadly not-for-profit and creative sectors, graphic design, book publishing, the theatre. So while I'm not creative myself, I have an appreciation of how the creative sector works and the dynamic of patronage, philanthropy, and subsidy.
So you both chose a piece from the collection by John Minton titled Spanish Village, and it was painted in 1950. I absolutely love this artwork. Could you describe it?
Well, it's an unusual shape because it is much taller than it is wide, and that reflects some of the subject matter, which are Spanish houses crowded together, several stories tall. It's a mixture of colours. There's quite a bit of green, but there's also sombre colours, dark blues, purpley colours, greys. It's not necessarily a picture that yields up its secrets on first glance. I think it's very much a picture which you need to study to see what's going on, because there's various light sources there which, as you study the painting, you see that these are windows, and perhaps even there are figures behind the shutters, or perhaps slightly caught in the light of the open windows.
The houses dominate the bottom half of the picture, yet the windows are very large, which suggests that they are effectively subject of artists' interest. The perspective is strange in that there is what looks to be a path which gives a definition to the location of the houses. We've established that it is twilight, but for me it still looks dark and somber, and the sky is un-Spanish. It feels a very heavy cloudscape over the Yorkshire moors. I'm interested in how that might affect the impact that the painting has on you.
Well, it's interesting you mentioning the sky, because it occupies about, I don't know, two-thirds of the picture, and you could say that the sky is representing the gathering twilight. It's actually darkening. Again, it's not instantly readable because it's not a huge oil painting.
The shapes of the houses are square. They're very close together, as you would imagine, in a village which might be close to the quayside. but they're very distinct. The one house doesn't really link to another in a painting, or as in the painting, or as it would do in reality.
I think also the perspective, our perspective as the viewer looking at this, or the perspective of the painter, is very interesting and relevant to this image as well. I know you do know a bit about John Minton. Having seen this image in reality, not just on the screen as such, looking at it in the collection store and selecting it, is there anything that you've learned about this specific image or John Minton in relation to this image?
Nothing specifically new, other than it is easily identifiable, I think, as John Minton when you know his other work. He did work quite a lot as a book illustrator, whether that was by choice or it was his bread and butter income to finance his painting, I don't know. But it is very, very much in his style, and it isn't as though he's gone off on a tangent, which makes this particular image sort of quirky or isolated from his other work.
John, I think what you were saying up in the store was really interesting, which I had no background knowledge of, about how whimsical he was. I actually really loved that detail. Maybe if you could talk a little bit about that.
Yes, well, he was obviously a person who loved life and enjoyed the sort of, no doubt, the vigour of going to Spain and so forth. I think he made a couple of trips there. And quite often in his pictures, you will find hidden away a figure in the background who is looking out at you. And I've seen that in several of his pictures, and that's part of the fun of them. I think as well he responded to all the sort of fruits and flowers of the Mediterranean. In this picture, I think the only figures you can see are sort of suggestions of figures at the windows. But again, that does seem to be a little bit of his whimsy, just teasing the viewer, perhaps putting in some detail that you hadn't instantly noticed. And I'd be pretty confident that looking at this picture for longer, you would spot something like that.
I think that's really interesting that you said there's a hint of people at those windows, because that's what I feel. I don't feel there's a definite figure. There's a sense of figures, but it doesn't feel like there's been painted in a figure. And I think that's why I was really drawn to this image, because I didn't know John Minton's work before going through the collection. And when this came out on the rack, I was immediately drawn to it, because there's a queerness in this image, for sure. There's a sense of on the outside looking in, that actually, and the brightness of those windows and the sense that life is happening, joy is happening behind those windows, and we're on the outside. It just really resonated with me. I've definitely felt that, and I've had some experiences of that, you know, which I'm sure many people have had. But I think the queer experience is, you know, that is often a sense of finding oneself and feeling yeah. on the outside. And I felt that this is captured in this image because it's so layered as well. You know, we've got this sky which is changing. We've got this kind of natural hilly landscape. And then we've got the urban landscape, or this village landscape. And then there's kind of upside downness reflection in this quayside, which you're not quite sure is there, and this path, and yeah.
And lights in some of the windows, but not others. The sense maybe some of the windows are shuttered, but definitely a very much a sense of life. And it could be, of course, if it was in the very south of Spain, that as twilight comes on, people finish their siesta and life is starting to happen again. I hope that's not too wild a reading of the picture.
Well, I think, like, when I went through the collection, I did everything mainly on an emotional response or things that I could read my own experiences in. I'm wondering, for both of you, was there an emotional reading of this work? I'm aware that you know John Minton's work, so, you know, there's an attraction to that because of that. But, like, looking at this image, there is a lot going on.
The difficulty for us, or certainly for me, is that when you know the artist and you know the work, you don't really come totally fresh. John may have said we have a John Minton and we're familiar with his illustrations from the books we have. So it is difficult to be sufficiently detached to have the direct response that maybe somebody else who didn't know his work or know of him so well would have. But I think there is something recognisable about it. You think to yourself, I have been in a situation where I have to cross a barrier, cross a frontier, And that's why it resonates and why I think it satisfies that statement that that there is a queerness about it.
It's definitely a picture that brings you in, because there is this sense of veiled activity, a secret life and so forth. And why has he chosen to depict this scene in that particular way? Because I think so far we've all agreed there's only a suggestion of figures here rather than anything standing. But we know that there are people there. Mm. And that's part of the fun of it as a picture, I think.
It's really alluring to me as well. And you kind of move through it. It kind of has these segments, but they're natural segments. And you kind of move up and down, but also your eye circulates continually around. The composition, the way it's laid out to me, is exquisite. And I feel like I can keep looking at it. And each time I look at it, something more is revealed, but also something more is hidden. It's like this kind of catch-22. And I don't know if that's the same for you.
Yes, I think so. I must say I very much agreed with your description. I had a similar reaction. Did they speak of the nights in Spain being purple? I think sometimes it is said, and that's what's sort of coming up. And as I say, I'm looking at it again, thinking maybe things are starting to come to life again as the evening opens. They, I think, in Spain go for the walk in the early evening while they all go out for a drink, the pasajata. I don't know if it's called that in Spanish, but you do have that sense. But I think we're also mentioning that it's a painting that takes quite a bit of study, because the bottom right-hand corner, we're not really sure whether that's reflections of water in a quayside. In other words, it possibly is a fishing village. On the left, where there's some sort of post standing, maybe that was something for tying boats to. I don't know if that is completely impossible. But it is slightly curious, because it's more likely to be a reflection, I think, because the houses seem upside down. But again, I'd be interested what other people thought about that.
Well, we definitely get a sense it is by the sea, because in the back left-hand side, before, you know, we get to the sky, there is definitely, for me, some cliff edges and then the sea.
I think what that asks me, is this an actual scene, or is it representational in his head of a Spanish village, one that he's been to, one that he is aware of, and he's then put this interpretation upon it. I mean, it's interesting, but it doesn't define the painting for me. But it's going, well, do I construct something which is, as John was saying earlier, which has a veiling, there is secrecy involved, where, as you were saying, where there is a concept of the outsider looking in. And then if we're now coming into the early evening, what is going to happen? Are those secrets going to be revealed? Is the veil going to be lifted?
Is this a bar in the left-hand corner where the size of the window seems to extend, or a doorway perhaps, to ground level?
Yes.
Interesting.
It'd be fascinating to know, like you said, is it a real place? Because I had just assumed, actually. Yeah. I'd absolutely made that assumption, but he could have painted it from memory as well, and his collective memory of experience.
Yes.
But I also like the thought of him being in a bar.
Yes.
Well, he certainly liked to drink, if I remember correctly, from Francis Spaulding's biography. But then, who doesn't?
Very true. So on to your second piece. It is by Kathleen Warne, titled Reclining Boy, and it was painted in 1935. Can you describe it?
Well, it is of a reclining boy who takes up most of the surface of the painting. It is a watercolour in sort of red, blue and yellow shades of the palette. He is looking out the window. There is some patterning on curtains, and the colours inside are reflected outside. The colours of the clothes the figure is wearing are reflected on the soft furnishings and the room decoration. He is wearing what looks to be a short-sleeved open T-shirt, showing quite a muscular chest and arms. yet his hands and his face are delicate, which gives him quite an androgynous quality. The face has very lascivious lips, and the cheeks, instead of being shaded, are virtually round or blotches of red, which fits in with the style of the painting, but tends to give him something towards a clown-like look, or towards what would be possibly female makeup. The lips are quite sensuous. The eyebrows are large, which is and dark, which is where my idea of clown-like comes from. He is looking out of a window, and he looks confident, yet poised and relaxed. This is not a figure of someone who is under any stress, strain, as far as we can tell. The thighs appear to be quite muscular. He's got his sort of legs up on the bed, so his knees are raised. It's a very interesting picture in that it draws you in and makes you contemplate a lot about the person.
That was a great description. I'm looking at you, John. Is there anything you want to add?
Nothing that I would want to add. David's already mentioned the sort of restricted colour palette. It's a little tricky to decide whether the boy is looking out through a window or whether possibly there's a mirror in the room, although I think the answer to that question is if it were a mirror, you possibly would see his face. Given that a reclining figure is always considered something of a challenge for artists because of the way the body has to be caught, I'm sure that if it were a mirror, then the artist would have taken that further challenge of depicting the other side of the boy's face. So I think we probably can say it's a window in what appears to be quite a comfortable room. He seems to have cushions, and it looks like a sort of sofa that he's lying on, or reclining on, rather than a bed. It's quite a cheerful picture. It's obviously celebrating this particular individual's youthfulness and vitality, and that is something one responds to quite strongly. His masculinity isn't being very strongly emphasized, more his sensuality, which you particularly see in his sensuous lips, and also, as David's mentioned, the quite significantly unbuttoned, very short shirt, which is also revealing his arms. So this is probably not how someone would have dressed in a public setting in 1935.
But he is in, like, he's not in a public setting from what we can tell in this situation. And I am referring to him as a him, but I definitely feel I can see the androgynous element. And for me, it's a really blurred line because it's really interesting. And obviously it's perception. Like, I don't see those legs as muscular. I think the arms are not muscular either. They're defined, maybe. But yeah, that it's really interesting, that element, because we look at it, and I think if it wasn't titled Reclining Boy, there would be a question over who is reclining.
Oh, I absolutely agree, because what I'm reading as sort of a muscular torso could just as easily be breasts. Mm-hmm. And because of the particular pose, it tends to sort of pump up the muscles. Therefore, although I've described him as quite muscular, maybe it's just the way his arms are that it's emphasizing just the natural musculature.
Yes, but to come back to the androgyny, if the chest is muscular and the upper arms, the hands for me are quite delicate and feminine. So there is a contradiction within the image.
The fingers are certainly quite long fingers, aren't they? I mean, the fingers look as if, I think there are proportions for fingers, but it looks like someone who could play the piano quite well.
Yes. So what drew you to choosing this particular image?
I found it quite homoerotic. The image, the figure is certainly sexualized. And then later on, when I knew more about the artist and when she painted this, I go back to it and question why this presumably heterosexual woman would want to paint a boy, as we're told, who it is hard to believe is straight. So going back to what you were talking about the other picture, I think the queerness in this one is explicit, whereas the queerness in Spanish Village is implicit. We have this in our faces. We don't have to look for it. It is there.
I agree, and I think it's partly the pose. I mean, as I said before, this is quite a well-known pose that artists will choose for various times. We think of things like the Rugby Venus, for instance, and it's much, much rarer to see a male figure painted in that way. It's really very rare indeed. And therefore, for me, it's actually a visual pleasure to look on male beauty represented in that way. The androgyny is, of course, part of the beauty. And it's rather delightful to find something's been done like that. Now, equally, there's no reason why a heterosexual woman shouldn't respond to the image of a beautiful boy. She might have been a mother, an aunt, or someone who simply responded to life and attractive forms. Of course, Germaine Greer famously captured all that and wrote a huge coffee table book called The Boy, which I think was quite a publishing success. But even then, I think that book is pretty unusual because there are not many works of that kind that could be brought together in one place. Whether this painting is in The Boy, I'll have to look at my copy of The Boy when we get home.
There is a possible connection in relation to that. And I only know this information from discussing it with Sarah and Karen from the collections team. Kathleen Warne was represented by Lucy Wertheim. And Lucy also represented a lot of artists who were gay and out at the time. And Kathleen would have been mixing within that group of artists. And through my own research, I discovered that Kathleen also worked for the Lucy Wertheim Gallery, helping run it. So it is likely that she would have been embedded in that community. So appreciating beauty for beauty's sake is very plausible in context. I appreciate I am filling some gaps in here, but it is likely she was mixing in those circles with those queer artists and potentially their partners.
So she was able to work outside the sort of heteronormative context of the time. So she didn't sort of search out male ruggedness and the beauty that's contained in that. She was particularly drawn in this occasion to this figure or depicting the figure of somebody she knew in this way. That's interesting that she was confident and comfortable with this type of depiction.
Yes, it's interesting. You're reminding me of the collection in the private corridors at Anglesey Abbey, which are portraits of young officers in uniform, similar age. And why would someone collect all these attractive young men in uniform? They look very nice. But this is a much freer way of capturing the beauty of a young male.
Well, that's interesting in itself, John, because we've been to Anglesey about three times and we've seen these corridors of young male officers. And some people, seeing this as an interest in the military and a pride in the military, we're interpreting it as gay men very much as an interest in the male form and wanting to surround yourself with the male form. So perhaps we should go for a fourth time and stand back and just chart everybody else's reaction against our own. But we can see the queerness, yes. I think, there that other people are not seeing, and they're attracted to the military associations.
But if you look at this as well, this reclining boy, he is a similar age to the subjects chosen by Henry Scott Tuke, who, of course, painted in Cornwall from the turn of the century right up into the 1930s, I think. And it's rather interesting. I've certainly been around public galleries in Britain who bought his work completely unaware of the most incredible homoerotic charge that these works give to the viewer. They were seen as heroic depictions of the male form, and that's how he got away with it.
Another one for the team.
Sticking with marginalisation in mind, Reclining Boy was painted in 1935, and at the time preceding this, Kathleen had real difficulty getting her work shown. And again, this piece, Reclining Boy, I suspect was included in her first solo show. That was at the Lucy Wertheim Gallery. And the reason why she had that connection with Lucy was really because her husband, Frank Ward, also an artist, really championed her. Well, it was her future husband. They weren't married at that time. And he really promoted her. He took her to all the West End London galleries. She was rejected time and time again, and then Lucy took her on and gave her this solo show, and her career really took off. So I just want to do a little shout out about that, because I think women, wives, girlfriends, partners, and lovers of male artists, and also female artists in their own right, have been marginalized, ignored, designated to a footnote, or at worst have been erased from history. And actually, this is like a very rare story of the male partner was really championing her, and she had a long, successful career. She was making art up until the time of her death.
So these two paintings you've chosen are very different from each other, both in style and subject. Is there a connection between the pieces as a result of you looking at them in some detail?
For me, there's a connection in the sense I'm drawn by the use of colour in both pictures. So there's that element. That, for me, probably is the stronger element, because lots of other aspects are so different. They're in different media and they're a different shape. They are, I suppose, examples of an artist with an individual style. So one's drawn to that. And they are both paintings that are very confident in the way they've been composed and what's represented. And as we've discussed, in different ways, there is a queer pull in both of them. And so I could say that if we changed the Reclining Boy to a twilight scene, we could put him into one of the windows of the Spanish village.
Yes, and I think that's interesting you say that. And I come back to something I said earlier, that there is an opposing link in that with the Spanish village, the queerness is explicit, secrecy, a veil, and what is going to happen and what's going on behind those windows, those figures. Whereas in Reclining Boy, the queerness is explicit. It is there for us to see. It is there for us to interpret and question. Whereas we've got to go far deeper through those windows to find the queerness.
Yeah, and I think for me, it's both the windows. You know, we're looking in from the John Minton's piece, and then with Reclining Boy, we're looking out. And it's kind of exactly what you said, John. It's that they could be the reverse of each other. One could be in the other, which I really, really love. Is there a piece that resonates the most and why?
I think on balance, it's the Reclining Boy for me. And it's probably because he seems so unashamed. He's comfortable with what he is, with the feminine traits, the physical attributes that he has. Whether that's true in reality, we don't know, but that's the image. And he seems to be quite happy to be painted without there being any sense of narcissism.
I'm more drawn, I love the Reclining Boy. It's very enchanting, but I'm much more drawn to the Minton, which I find a more complex picture, and the hidden, the veiled side of it draws me very strongly. Plus, I think there's probably in the end more going on in that painting, so that I think I would probably keep seeing something in it for. Well, I think there are paintings like that that you just are an endless source of interest and pleasure. And I guess as well, although as David said, we shouldn't respond to work because of what we know of the artist, knowing of John Minton's life and his unfortunately early death and sad and unappreciated end gives the picture another layer of melancholy. I respond to that as well, I think. And for me, it's also, there's a puzzle element. I do not feel that it's fully yet understood by me.
Just to add that John Minton committed suicide 7 years after this was painted, sadly, which does add another layer to it. Like, and when you find that out and thinking about, again, and as I've talked about, that kind of outsider perspective, which may or not be the case in this instance, but that's what I read from it. Okay, so I'm going to ask you both, seeing you both chose one each, it's nice you can take them home. Wouldn't that be lovely?
Oh, please.
If you could sum up the piece that you chose in 3 words, what would they be?
The Reclining Boy, I think the words that come to mind are proud or pride, confidence, and undefined.
And I've gone for the Minton, and I would call it Secret Lives, which is only 2 words.
That's 2 words, but it has multiple meanings. It's like a bit like the piece.
Mm. Mm.
Lovely.
Yes, I mean, really, one could say an awful lot about it, but equally, just contemplating it is a pleasure because it does have a beauty in the very careful composition of the picture, which I think is something, the more you look at it, the more you see. It has been very, very carefully assembled and great care has been taken with the way it's been painted and with the choice of colour that's been used.
Well, thank you so much for your time and your beautiful insights. I've so loved talking to you both and I could talk to you for ages. But yeah, I really appreciate your thoughts and your contributions.
Thank you. We've found it a most rewarding experience.
Yeah, and I think it's been educative for us in that when we see other paintings, maybe go and look at our own as we gradually decorate the walls of the farmhouse, and we'll look at things afresh and perhaps look at them. Why did we buy them? What caused us to buy those? Was it just because we knew the artist, we wanted to support the artist? I think what we have got, and I doubt we will buy many more, this experience has taught us to probably look at them afresh and see perhaps what we haven't seen before.
Thank you for listening. You can find out more about the Towner and the collection on their website, with selected artworks also available on Art UK's online database. You can find links in the episode notes. Collectively will be released fortnightly from November until early spring 2022. Subscribe to where you get your podcasts to stay up to date with new content drops and any additional bonus audio. And do sign up to Towner Eastbourne's newsletter via their website and on socials, follow at Towner Gallery. And spread the queer love. Do rate and review Collectively as it really helps other people find it.